Good morning, Mosaic House Church. I'm Pastor Ann, bringing you the message this morning. How many of you have ever done something you're ashamed of? I think pretty much everybody has that in their past somehow or other. Now, Brené Brown, she's a research professor at the University of Houston. She's a sociologist. She studied human connection, shame, and vulnerability over the past two decades. And she says, shame is the gremlin that whispers in your ear, you are not enough. You will never be enough. Or, who do you think you are? Shame says that we're flawed, we're unworthy of love, unworthy of belonging. Shame is behind addiction, violence, aggression, bullying, eating disorders, depression, suicide. For women, shame is this long list of conflicting and competing expectations of who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the perfect career woman, have the perfect house, cook perfectly good, nutritious meals every day, have perfect children who are well behaved and do well at school. And above all of that, we're to have the perfect figure, always dressed to the nines, and have a candlelight dinner for our husbands at least once a week. Now, for men, shame is quite different. Shame for men is that they are never ever to show that they are weak. Shame on them if they ever have a tear come down their cheek. In order to understand where this shame and guilt came from, we need to go back to the beginning. In Genesis, in the Bible, it tells us that Adam and Eve were the first humans on earth that God created. Now, it says that Adam and Eve were naked and they felt no shame. Genesis 2, verse 25. Then in Genesis 3, something happened. The serpent came to Eve and tempted her and caused her to doubt God and to just go against what God told her. And she pulled Adam into that as well. And sin entered the world, as did shame. And the first thing they did, they covered themselves and they hid. They covered themselves and they hid. Now, shame, that shame is still inherent in each one of us today. And sin these days isn't really politically correct to talk about, right? Guilt, sin, sin is passé. Thing is, there's no such thing as moral absolutes. Something that may be wrong for you might not be wrong for me. Something that's right for you might not be right for me. And so, yeah, we don't even really want to deal with that anymore. But the thing is, sin is still a part of our lives. Guilt is still a part of our lives, whether we want to talk about it or not. Sin is basically going our own way instead of God's way. It really comes down to pride. So the theme and goal of our message this morning, what we're going to talk about, is in continuing on in this series called Power to Change. Now, the Bible tells us that we need to confess our sins and that God is faithful and just and will forgive us because of Jesus' death on the cross, and that we will be set free from shame and from guilt. So confess your sins, put off shame, and be free in Christ. Now, in the video that you will be watching in your house church this week, talks about how we need to confess our sin. Now, all of you are probably thinking, oh good, this is the week I'm going to skip house church. No, actually, it would be much better to be there. You see, it's very freeing to be able to confess your sin to someone else. And I don't mean you have to confess it to everybody in your house church, but maybe you could pair off with someone that you trust. Now, in the video, you will hear a young woman talk about how she was so ashamed of her behavior on Friday and Saturday nights, and that was so incongruous with her going to church on Sunday mornings. And this carried on for years and years in her life. And she felt powerless to change. But after years, she did give that up, and she confessed that sin to a trusted friend who spoke forgiveness to her, and she was free of all of that shame and guilt. You see, the sins that we have committed in the past, time doesn't forgive those sins. Jesus does, and we need to confess them in order for God to forgive us. It's not automatic. And I believe it's because God wants us to recognize our sin, recognize where we choose our way instead of God's way, so that we can understand that and actually change in those areas. When we confess our sin and receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, a great weight is lifted off of our shoulders. I just want to tell you a bit about how that worked in my life. I lived a shame-based life. My identity was in my shame. You see, I grew up in a very Christian family. My father was very strict, authoritarian type of father, and I tried very, very hard to please him. I was this people pleaser, and I tried to be that perfect daughter that always lived up to his expectations. And I put that on God too, that God was this authoritarian God, that I had to obey all the rules and the commands of God, and in order for God to love me. I also worked very hard at trying to get my parents to love me. I wanted them to see how good I was, and then I would receive love. You see, in my family, my parents weren't very demonstrative in their love. All of my physical needs were cared for, yes, but those emotional needs were not. I don't even remember a time that I was hugged by my mom or my dad. And so I would work even harder at trying to please them. And the thing is, I lived out of shame because I always felt like I didn't belong. I felt like I was on the outside of life looking in at people who were really enjoying their lives. I felt like I didn't belong. When I was about 50, my mom told me something that really put all those pieces of this puzzle together. She told me that, and she felt very ashamed of this as well, that she didn't want me when she found out that she was pregnant with me. And she tried different ways to miscarry. Now, I don't know if you know this, but a fetus in utero can feel the emotions of its mother, his or her mother. I could feel that rejection already when I was still in her womb. That feeling of rejection went so deep into my heart, and that feeling of rejection is how I lived my life, that I had to please people, that I had to do all this stuff in order to feel like I belonged, that I had to be perfect, that I couldn't make mistakes. And of course I did. Of course I still sinned. That's not it. I'm just saying that I tried so hard to follow all the rules perfectly. And so, yeah, I became this judgmental person. I had this high standard for myself of how I needed to live, but then I expected other people to live up to that standard as well. So I was judgmental, and I was envious, and I was proud, and that was my sin. And so I went through a lot of inner healing prayer. I went to counseling, and all of that I worked through with the help of the Holy Spirit, and I was set free from that guilt and that shame that I felt. Now this morning, I want to go through Psalm 130 that talks about how we can be set free and how we can be forgiven. Psalm 130, out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. And that is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill our hearts, fill our minds, open our ears, open our eyes, that we may hear the truth of you, what you want us to know, what you want us to hear, what you want us to see today about this topic of shame and guilt. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to go through 3 points this morning. The first is, we are in a sinkhole. Second, we have been thrown a rope. And third, we can climb out hanging onto that rope and we can be redeemed. So first, we're in the sinkhole. Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. So yeah, we are in a sinkhole. We are stuck in shame and guilt. Have you ever seen anybody hang their head in shame? They're so ashamed of what they have done. And you feel like you're this really bad person. The thing about guilt and shame is that they overlap. They're different, but one can come from the other. Guilt is based on my actions, and shame is built or based on my identity. I feel guilty because I did something wrong, but I feel shame because I feel like I should be better than that, or I should be stronger than that. Take this for example. I shouldn't have eaten that cookie or that dozen of cookies. I feel guilty because I did it. But I feel shame because I should have been stronger and not give in to that temptation. So you see the difference there? Identity is who we are. So I can be disappointed and ashamed of myself because I did something that I'm guilty of. And it shames me. It shames my identity. Shame says I am bad. The focus is on ourself and not our behavior. Now, shame thrives on 3 things: secrecy, silence, and judgment. Guilt says, I did something bad, and guilt is the discomfort we feel when we know we have done something we shouldn't have done, or that we didn't do that we should have done. Now, in today's culture, we've mostly gotten rid of guilt, right? We don't want to talk about it, like I mentioned before. We don't want to deal with guilt and with sin. And because we say to other people, well, you don't need to feel guilty about that. There's no real standard of what's right or wrong, right? Whatever you do might not be good for somebody else. So the thing is, guilt, or the trouble is, we still feel this sense of shame. And when we can't connect it to guilt, we don't know where the shame comes from. And then we don't really know what to do with it. But sometimes shame is put on us by other people. It's not because of something I have done or that I'm guilty of, but what other people have done to us, such as abuse. Sexual abuse is huge. Shame, intense shame comes from that. We can be bullied at school or talked down to by our teachers, or shame be put on us by our parents or even the church. And so this is complicated, right? Shame can be first, and then guilt comes because we, out of our woundedness, because we've been shamed, we sin. And so that brings guilt into our lives. Or we can do something like that bad behavior, that guilt, and then it can cause shame. But either or, there is shame, there's guilt, and there's sin. And the enemy, our enemy, the devil, really wants to keep us in that shame and in that guilt so that we will not be free from that. And how can we be true disciples of Jesus if we are stuck in guilt and shame? But I'm here to tell you today that there is hope, that through the power of the Holy Spirit in us, working in us, there is freedom from shame and guilt through what Jesus did on the cross. So point number two is we have been thrown a rope. Now this rope has two strands. The first is that there is this record of sins. And second is that there is a redeemer. This is based on Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4 and 7 and 8. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you there's forgiveness. Put your hope in the Lord. He is full redemption, and he will redeem you from all your sins. So verse 3 says that God has not kept a record of sins, but that implies that there is a standard, there is a record, that there is this, the laws of God to live by. And the thing is, it's throughout Scripture that we find ways that we're to live. There's the Ten Commandments. There's Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 to 7. There's many codes to live by given by Paul in his letters to the early churches. Now, when we do something wrong against the standard of God, you feel guilty, right? And that's your conscience working. Now, really, the laws of God are given to us because God loves us, because God made each one of us, and he knows the very best way for us to live. And when we live outside of those standards or outside of the will of God, we don't do well. And so the reason God gave us those laws is because he loves us, and he wants us to do well in our lives and not be stuck in this endless cycle of sin and guilt and shame. So the guilt feelings that you feel, you need to examine them. So when they come up, don't just try and squelch those guilt feelings. They're there for a reason. So go to it, to those guilt feelings, and find out, are they true guilt or are they false guilt? One good way to figure that out is to ask yourself, am I guilty in God's eyes, or am I guilty in my own eyes or someone else's eyes? You see, the only eyes that you need to be concerned about judging you are God's eyes. God has set the standard. So in the eyes of God, are you guilty? Well, 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you are just guilty in your own eyes or someone else's, you can give that to Jesus too and just let it go. So we need to confess our sins, those we know that we are truly guilty of. And confession can be really scary. Yes, it can be really scary. But why would God want us to do that? You do sometimes, of course, risk the possibility that you lower yourself in the eyes of the other person. But if you have a close friend who will not judge you, but who will speak forgiveness for you and give you mercy and grace, that's the kind of person that you want to confess to. Romans 8:1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You don't have to fear condemnation for what you have done. You will receive mercy and forgiveness from Jesus and the friend that you confess to. Why do you think it's good to confess to somebody? Well, I think it's a good way for that person to keep us accountable. Maybe we have this recurring sin, and that person can say to us, "Don't you remember that you said that you wouldn't do that again?" And it's also a good deterrent. If we think before we do something wrong again, we can say, "Oh, I'm going to have to confess that to this person. I guess I'm not going to do that." So that's a good way for us to work out our salvation with cooperating with the Holy Spirit. So confess your sins, put off shame, and be free in Christ. Now, that second strand of that rope that we've been thrown is a redeemer. And that redeemer is Jesus Christ, who died for us and forgave us all our sins. Now, I find that some people feel that they have so much guilt, so much shame. They feel so terrible about themselves. They think that what they have done, there's no way that God could forgive them. But that is a lie. God will forgive everything. Oftentimes they feel that they're so broken, so flawed, so irredeemable, but that is absolutely not true. Otherwise, often people will say, "Well, I can't forgive myself." Well, that is actually a real form of pride, because if God forgave you, how can you put yourself higher than God and say you can't forgive yourself? Let it go. Let it go. Jesus forgave you, so you are forgiven. Let it go at that. You know, I've met with many people over the years to do inner healing prayer with them, and often there are sins to confess. And often the unconfession is actually a blockage to receiving full healing in Jesus Christ. And so we ask the person, "What do you need to confess?" We ask the Holy Spirit to come and to show that to the person so that they can confess those sins that they've tried to hide so deep. Now, there was one person that she confessed this sin that she had been hanging on to for many, many years. When she was 16 years old, she had an abortion. She was in her 50s now, and she still felt extreme guilt, extreme shame for what she had done. Now, we prayed with her to receive forgiveness from Jesus for this, and she saw in her mind's eye Jesus holding this tiny little fetus and weeping tears over this little person that never got a chance to take her first breath. But she also saw Jesus reaching out his hand to her and saying, "You're forgiven, my daughter. I forgive you." And she wept these incredible tears of relief because she really did accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and she was set free. You see, shame thrives and grows exponentially if it is kept in secret. Therefore, it is very important to not hide it, but to talk about it with someone that you trust and receive that forgiveness of Jesus. So confess your sins, put off shame, and be free in Christ. The third point is we can get out of that sinkhole if we grab hold of that rope. Verse 5 and 6, "I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, or more than watchmen wait for the morning." You see, it takes time to get out of that sinkhole. I wait for the Lord. I put my hope and my trust in him. Remember, we have been talking in this series about what the Holy Spirit does for us. The first is justification, the second sanctification, and the third glorification. And in this talk about confession of sin, of putting off shame and guilt, we're talking about sanctification, how the Holy Spirit works with us to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. And it does take time. It's like peeling off layers of an onion, a bit at a time. But the Holy Spirit knows exactly what you need to do at exactly the time that you need to do it. So trust the process. Also, we can wait in community. We can grab that rope together with others. Others, like in our house church. You see, Jesus is reaching down into that hole. He wants to grab you. He wants to pull you up. He is your hope and your redeemer. And you can also hear those words of forgiveness and reconciliation from the people that you trust in your house church, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you can pray for one another to receive that forgiveness and to be free of shame and of guilt. And there's something really freeing to hear another person proclaim forgiveness over you. You have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. And then say your name. You see, when shame is brought out into the open, into the light, it has no power over us anymore. It's gone. The forgiveness that Jesus won for us on the cross, sets us free and lifts us out of that sinkhole. Hebrews 2 verse 2 says this, "For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame." Jesus scorned the shame as he hung on the cross, totally naked. Now that was shame. All of the shame, guilt, sin was heaped on him as he hung on the cross. Adam and Eve were naked when they were in the garden before that first act of sin. And then they covered themselves up because of their shame. Jesus now scorned the shame on the cross as he hung there naked. He reversed that shame that Adam and Eve felt and that we all feel. We also try to hide our shame, but that is the work of the enemy, of Satan, in our lives to try and keep us down. You know, Jesus hung there totally naked and he took that shame upon himself. He was spit on, he was mocked, he was cursed, but he loathed the shame. He loathed the shame that you feel because of your addiction to pornography. He loathes the shame that you feel because of your lust. He loathes the shame that you feel because you can't control your anger and because you yelled at your kids again. He loathes the shame that you feel because you are overweight and you're not taking care of your body. He loathes the shame that you feel because you feel unworthy or you feel like you don't belong or you feel like you just can't do it anymore. Jesus loathes the shame that you feel. Let him take it from you. Let him set you free. You know, Adam and Eve, when they walked in the garden, they communed with God. They had this intimate relationship with God, and they didn't need to hide anything. When Jesus hung on the cross, and he forgave us all of that. He restored that intimacy that we can have with God the Father. We can again have that relationship restored and we can walk with God in total freedom and not feel shame and not feel guilt and not be stuck in our sin. He wants to set us free. Let him set you free. Who are you in Christ? Find your identity in Christ. That's what made the difference for me in that counseling. when someone told me, you are not that person anymore. You are not rejected. You are not alone. You do belong. Look up the verses in the Bible, especially in the letter to the Ephesians, that talks about who you are in Christ. In Christ, you are no longer a slave to sin. In Christ, you are a child of the King. You have been set free from being a slave to sin. You are no longer that person who feels such guilt and such shame. Let Jesus take it from you. You know what the opposite of shame is? The opposite of guilt is innocence, but the opposite of shame is glory. It's glory. Think about what the Holy Spirit does for us. Justification, sanctification, glorification. We don't talk about our glorified self until after we die, right? We don't receive glorification until then. But I believe that we can already get a glimpse of that glory now when Jesus forgives us all of our sin, all of our guilt, and takes all of that shame on himself. Let him do that for you. Let him set you free. Galatians 2 verse 20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not rejected. Because of Christ, I am accepted. I am not broken, but because of Christ, I am made whole. I am not unworthy, but because of Christ, I am worthy. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. Because of Christ, I am enough. In Christ, I'm changed. I'm a new creation. I'm chosen. I'm accepted. I'm free. Don't walk in shame any longer. Accept what Jesus Christ has done for you. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you that you know me. You know everything about me. You know all of my sins and my shortcomings. You know what I'm struggling with, whether it's guilt or shame or rejection. I thank you, God, that your word clearly reveals that on the cross, Jesus endured all of this. He endured guilt, he endured shame, and he endured rejection that I might be set free. That instead, I can know that I'm accepted by God, my Father. I belong to you. I belong to the very best family in the universe, and I don't need to be ashamed. I don't need to be second class. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for what you have done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.